Now, next in studio, again, I have the great pleasure of welcoming both a friend and a colleague and also a radio presenter here in CRY 104 FM, Dara McGann. So you're very welcome to the show as a guest tonight, Dara.
Yeah, Rosary, it's actually a bit weird because only an hour or so ago, I was on the other side doing my own show. So the angles are a bit strange here now. I'm on the outside looking in.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Sean is doing a great job.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, well done, Sean. So, Dara, now I suppose let's before we go into the heart of what we're going to talk about tonight, tell us a little bit about your background and your upbringing, if you don't mind, just to give people a little insight into who Dara McGann actually is.
Well, I was born in Dublin and I was adopted when I was 7 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And I was taking that journey all the way to Cork, and I'm still trying to recover from that journey. Brought up with my mum and dad. My dad died just before I turned the age of six. My grandparents moved in and they were with us until they passed on. So it's just been mum and I the whole time. I've lived most of my life in Cove, apart from 2 years in college.
Okay, fantastic. So you essentially grew up then in Cove, apart from your first 7 weeks in Dublin.
Well, I guess I had two homes in Cove. I had my own home.
Yes.
And then I had the cathedral.
Okay.
Because I was very, very involved with singing and reading, and every chance I get, I just wanted to be down in the church, or better still, up on the altar. I just love it, you know, and I felt happy there.
Okay, very good. So did that lead you on to later decisions then about your direction in life? You might want to elaborate.
Yeah, well, you know, studies for me, secondary school, I found difficult.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't realise why. There was a little bit of bullying going on, but other people have had that too. Mm. But because I was so involved in church and I was an altar server, any time there were ever priests came around looking for vocations, Dara McGann's name was given, and I would have gone off on vocations weekends and all that. Mm. They're not as great as people think. Mm. So it came as no surprise to anybody when Dara McGann was going forward for the priesthood. So at the age of 18, I went to St. Patrick's College in Thurles to sign on.
Oh, wow. And how was that when you did go there?
Well, of course, I went there with great anticipation, you know, thinking I'm going to start on something that's going to be for the rest of my life. I had an uncle who was a priest, a missionary.
Yes.
He was always very happy. He was like a father figure to me. And if he was happy, I wanted that happiness too.
Right.
But what I experienced in there was not what I was prepared for.
Okay. And so just before we go into that, your uncle was a priest, I think, in the Holy Ghost Fathers. Is that right?
Just like two uncles of yours.
Exactly. That's the connection here, which is really interesting. And he was, just out of interest, so what countries was he in the foreign mission?
Yeah, initially he would have served in Nigeria, okay. In Onitsha, Nigeria, from 1955 to 68. He had to get out like so many others during the Biafran
uncles,
War.
Yeah, my two uncles. The same
and way. He wanted a warm climate, so yeah. They sent him off to Louisiana in the United States, where he remained until he retired in 1995.
Okay. And just to add to that, my uncles went to Brazil and retired back to
Rockwell.
Thank you. So going back to yourself, so you went to St. Patrick's College.
In Thurles,
In Thurles, and it wasn't what you expected. Why not?
Well, it was initially. When I got there, you remember, I didn't know anybody. There were 100 students. There were 13 in my class. And it was all very strict when we got there.
Okay.
You had to be dressed in black and you went for prayers.
Okay. Was this in the 80s, Dara?
The 90s.
The 90s, sorry.
I'm not that old.
No, I didn't think so. I'm just trying to figure it out. Okay,
but yeah,
because being so strict, I was just wondering what era we're looking at. It's the 90s, okay.
It was 1991, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll never forget it because I suppose I was only there a few days and I knew there was one guy in my class that I absolutely loved being around.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't think anything of that,
yeah.
You know, because I was kind of a loner in school.
Okay.
But as the time progressed, this desire of being around him was getting more intense.
Okay.
Getting to a point where my day wouldn't be complete if I didn't see him walking down the corridor.
Mm, okay.
I absolutely adored him.
Okay.
But knowing, you know, what the church's teaching would have been, love only exists between a man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
I felt maybe I was under temptation.
Okay.
And I suppose fast-tracking to the end of the year, I knew I couldn't go back.
Okay.
I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I really did want to. I wanted to be a priest, yes, but I knew that I had very, very deep feelings with for this guy.
Okay.
But I couldn't share them. So when I left seminary, I basically told people a pack of lies.
Okay.
I told them I wasn't cut out for it.
Okay.
It wasn't for me.
Okay.
It was too strict. Excuse me, frog in the throat, too much talk. But the actual truth of it was that I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell anybody because that would be a shame.
Okay, in those days it was still pretty much not, we'll say, as an open society as it is now, and probably wouldn't have been as acceptable. Is that right?
Yeah,
Did you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I can only speak from where I come from, and I didn't want to cause any distress to my mum,
mm-hmm.
Because I would respect her beliefs and I would have a lot of beliefs too. But no way could I tell her, Mum, I actually fell in love with a guy. Mm. God, I'm with consternation.
Mm.
So I retreated into myself, and like talking to Graham McCormack earlier this evening on my own show, I started to hate myself.
Mm.
I really did. And I've spoken about mental health issues in the past. But when I left seminary, I did hate myself.
Okay.
That I could possibly fall to the temptation of loving another man,
mm.
which led me into a very, very dark place,
okay.
which led me to deciding that I was going to end my own life.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Luckily, I was able to survive. So luckily, I came out of that. It didn't happen, you know. But for the next number of years... Yeah, my phone is on silent, but it was buzzing.
Oh.
For the next 30 years,
mm-hmm.
I hid it. I was just afraid to admit the truth.
Gosh, that's a long, must have been a heavy burden, mental burden.
Yeah, it was. And I suppose I was afraid to even talk about it. I tried to broach the subject maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
I was invited to perform in Chambers Bar in Cork for an event for cancer. And I was so nervous, would somebody see me going in? For anybody who doesn't know, Chambers is an LGBT bar.
Right.
I loved it inside there.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. I was around with people that I could get on with, that
yes.
I identified with.
Yes.
And then I went to Dignity in Waterford, which has since gone, and I sang in a competition there. I just couldn't get enough of it. But I tried to open up about it. I knew my mom wouldn't be too happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I withdrew until last Tuesday.
Okay.
I was afraid of love. I was afraid to admitting that I had been in love.
Mm.
But it was a different kind of love to what most people experience.
Of course, yeah.
And it goes against everything I was taught and everything I was told to believe in.
Sorry there. So last Tuesday on Facebook, there was a bit of a revelation.
Yeah, last Tuesday was above in Navan.
Okay.
Because I was staying overnight to record my final track for that album.
Okay, which I'm looking forward to when it comes out.
And I was watching something on TV and they were reviewing books. And one of the books that they were reviewing was a book called The Vatican Inside the Closet. And I was listening to some of the stories and then I started reading about it online. And it brought me back to 1991. Because that was a time that I had hidden away. I had buried. I didn't want to go back there again.
Mm.
I cried. I so cried in my room because it was painful to think of it. But at the same time, it was liberating to think of it.
Yeah.
And then I started to realize, you know what? I've always been this way. It just didn't happen.
Mm.
You know, a bolt of lightning didn't strike me. I've always been this way. And then I started thinking back to my school days. Yeah, it made sense. Everything started to fit in. And I thought, I can't deny this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's celebrate it. Let's get it out there once and for all. Get the chains off me. So I sat down and I put together a message on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I put it out there. I just wanted this off my back once and for all. I didn't want the shame of it any longer. And I've never been happier in my life. I feel so free.
Fantastic. I hope this sends a message to people who might feel in a similar situation as you did, Dara. And I think it's terrible to think that you almost went through 30 years of denial. Not denial, I don't personally, but, you know, there was obviously a mental burden there which weighed heavily upon you, or which you had to navigate through life knowing this was there and you avoiding it. And as you mentioned, going into the pub in Cork in case you were seen and all this kind of thing. It's a shame that you have to feel that way.
Yeah, sometimes, Rosary, you hear people saying, you know, well, you know, it's not natural to be gay or lesbian. You know, you should be cured, or you could be cured, right? I'll put my hand on heart and I will openly admit I try to be straight.
Mm-hmm.
I know my mother would love to have a grandchild and all that. And I tried my damnedest to be straight. But the thing is this, and somebody asked me recently, for you, Dara, what's the difference between gay and straight? Well, it's like this. I love women.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love women. I adore them. I respect them to the last. But I could never be in love with a woman.
Mm.
And it's a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out with girls, but it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel right. I knew it wasn't right. So for anybody that's listening in, and this is this is the key why I agreed to do the interview at all,
mm-hmm.
is regardless of your age, you know, don't be ashamed of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of who you are on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'd like to think that as a society, we've moved on a little bit. But if you're gay, lesbian, straight, bisexual, transgender, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a unique human being. You're a beautiful person. And you have so much to give society. And I'm not willing to put my life on hold anymore. I'm 46. I suppose when I was diagnosed with MS 2.5 years ago, that was like a wake-up call. Dara, you need to get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still avoiding the elephant in the roof,
mm-hmm.
in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the elephant in the room was, yes, when I was 18, I fell in love with a man.
Okay.
And I can still see him mm-hmm. in front of me. I can't go
back
in time.
Do you regret, I suppose, in a way, not coming out earlier and maybe perhaps pursuing that relationship with that person? Or did they feel the same way about you? Do you know? Or did you ever find out?
I really don't know. But I mean, mm-hmm. I could say that I regret. If I had my time all over again, mm-hmm. absolutely. But you know what? I can't live in the past.
No, nor should you.
Yeah. I can learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try not make the same mistakes again. But hey, I'm human. I can make mistakes. But the thing I want to make perfectly clear, a lot of people know me from, you know, being involved in church. Well, I'm going to tell people right now, I'm going to make a bold statement. There's nothing sinful in being gay or lesbian
mm-hmm.
or bi or transsexual. That's the way you were born. That's the way you were made.
Yep.
There is nothing sinful in that. And I will denounce anybody that tries to tell me it's a sin
mm-hmm.
because it's not.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult. How can you criticize your maker for making you the way you are? You know, it's
absolutely. As I sit here tonight on the third day of April 2019, I'm proud that I'm a gay man
mm-hmm.
and I'm ready to find love.
Okay. I wonder, is it a good time to take your next piece of music?
I'll give you the next piece of music. We have about 5 minutes to go, I think, to the ads.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read out something that I wrote because I am a songwriter and wanted to mark the occasion.
Of course.
I'm just going to go into this and I hope it helps people. I want to thank you, Rosary, for giving me the chance here tonight, and to Sean.
My pleasure entirely, and I know Sean feels the same.
It was a warm September evening when I arrived at that big place, following in the footsteps of many others who entered there. The beginning of a journey, an answer to a call, the first day of a new life that would end with a great fall. It was hard to remember the many names of all those here, and day by day, the times would change to gather in deep prayer. But then my eyes were opened. It was now that I did see. This place would ask the questions, but the answers were scary. The days they got longer, my emotions were a mess. I tried to find a reason, but it seemed so meaningless. My heart was filled with conflict. What was this wrong or right? To walk away, I had to do. I just couldn't find a light.
Beautiful.
So this next piece of music that I've written is mm-hmm. called Is There a Light?
Okay.
And I'm glad to say that I've found that light. I'm a happy person. I'm a happy camper. I'm out and proud, and hallelujah for that. And I suppose the line to take there is to find the strength to embrace humanity, and that's what it's all about. And thank you for having me in.
Oh, it's our pleasure entirely.